That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I love that song. Never get tired of it. That old wheel will roll around again. You just wait. You just give it a... give it a day or two, or hey, it might even take a week or two. But that old wheel, it will roll around. And here we are, Saturday morning, Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got a full crew for you this morning, and we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. And we'll bring everybody on from Nebraska. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
And I think we'll have Brother Paul joining us in a few minutes as well. But we welcome.
I'm here.
Oh, good morning, Paul. Well, thanks for joining in. I didn't hear you come on.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Whatever. Yep, bye-bye.
And we thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in. And where it goes, hey, we'll just have to wait and see how the Holy Spirit leads. But we've got our coffee, and we've got our Bibles, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't get much better than that. We mentioned a little earlier. And so, but we'll open up in a word of prayer. We hope that you, Remnant, are opening your day with prayer. We hope you're opening your journeys with prayer. When you have big things in front of you, whether it's moves or large decisions, that you do that as well, that you start them out with seeking the Lord's guidance and with praising Him. And we're going to do that here. We're going to open up with prayer, and John, we'll sure look to you to open us up and get us started.
I think I'm going to ask Jason to open in prayer. I got some things I want to start out with, but I'm going to ask Jason to open in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and I ask, Father, that you just lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. Father, that you be with us and that you guide us and direct us in the direction that we are to go. Father, we come before you and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And Father, without you, we are nothing. And Father, we recognize that and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we thank you for all that you're doing in the hearts and minds of your people. And Father, we pray, Father, that your people just continue to cry out to you. And
thank you.
We pray, God save America again. And we say it, we believe it, we pray it, we ask for it, Father. And we ask, Father, as we recognize that we are in war, we pray, Father, that you war with those that are warring against us, that you deal with those that are targeting us, that are fighting against us, Father. And we just pray, Father, for our wives, our children, our families, and our property, and our to be sealed off from the demonic forces of hell, the spiritual forces of darkness and the dark side, Father. We come before you and we ask that you do a mighty and awesome work with your people and through your people. And we know, Father, that you are the one that's in control and you're the one that's in charge. And Father, we just come before you on bended knee and ask, Father, for your assistance and your guidance and your direction. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines will be open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you have a question or comment. And well, John, we'll just start out with you. If you had some to start with, if you're ready for that.
Yeah, I think with everything that's going on in the world right now, Psalm 46:10 comes to mind. Be still and know that I am God. He will be exalted amongst the heathen, and he will, be exalted throughout the earth. Because if you've been following what's going on, then you know that the story is continuously changing. I don't know. I guess I'm as guilty as anyone, or maybe more guilty as far as looking at what's going on in the physical realm and trying to tie it in to the spiritual realm, but I still believe that what the Lord said and showed us some time ago is still gonna take place. But because the thing we need to realize is that there's one book that never changes called the Bible, and the story that never changes is found in Exodus, and it's the story of the Red Sea predicament, where Pharaoh and the Egyptians had boxed in the Israelites. Behind them was being dragged back to Egypt in bondage and slavery. But before them was the Red Sea. Truly daunting, insurmountable situation. Sounds pretty familiar with what we're going through right now. And when it appeared that there was absolutely no way, God made a way. He parted the waters and they walked through on dry ground. But he did it at the very last minute. Right now, America, even the world for that matter, is in a form of chaos. And no one would disagree that we're living in difficult, dangerous days. Days that we don't know what to believe sometimes with regards to the things that are being sent to us and the things that we are searching out. But the one thing that is constant is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those that are born again and have contacted the blood through baptism have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can and will walk in the power of the gifts. Like in the story of Lazarus, God let us participate in the miracle. We get to roll away the stone, but that's the only part. Jesus performed the miracle. So right now, I think, is the time for us to be still before the Lord, fasting and praying and seeking God's face, boldly and courageously standing in faith, not cowering down or hiding because of the names that they're calling us. No, now is the time to be bolder than ever before in your faith, and fulfilling the Great Commission, sharing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and thanksgiving let your requests be known to God. Praise God for what he is going to do in the parting of the Red Sea. Just watch it all play out, because remember, God is the author of the script. So I think that's words of encouragement for the situation and the times that we're living in.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right, now we can talk about all the other stuff that don't much matter. there's some stuff that's important.
Huh. Yeah, I think also a good generalization of this is that the Bible uses comparisons many times. Jesus said, "Hey, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is light," and in comparison to what the world puts upon us, and the world's requirements, and the world system requirements, and come to me. I'm gentle, he says, and many times it's that contrast. But people don't see that. They don't see how the blessings of God and the goodness of God. Because they're focusing on the lies that are coming from the people of the world, and the false reality that the world puts out. Oh no, this is better. And I think that for people to see what is going on, for them to see what's going on, they have to see that contrast. And I think they've seen that contrast. And I think that here very shortly they're going to see the other side of that. When 11,000 jobs get wiped out on day one, and taxes are increased on day one, and pushing of agendas is pushed and promoted, then it's not going to be very long before that $2.09 a gallon gas is going to be going up, and I think that's one thing that's going to wake people up and let them see that it's not just what we hear these elected officials, so-called elected officials and leaders say, but it's what comes out of it. And and I think that's just one example that those that don't have eyes to see yet, whatever excuse they may have is quickly going to be taken away, because that contrast, I think, is going to make it be seen.
Yeah, I have a different take. I believe that what we're witnessing right now is a whack the dog situation, a movie set playing out. There are so many signs in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm of things that have taken place with regards to this phony inauguration. The fact that you have a justice, what's his name, Roberts, that's illegitimate. You have a president-elect that's illegitimate. You have a vice president elect that's illegitimate. The whole thing is illegitimate. And I be still before the Lord. And I think what we're going to be witnessing here very shortly is the fall of Babylon to a degree that none of us could imagine. And I know people will call me crazy. I think the scenario that we laid out is the right scenario. It's just not, things don't happen in our timing. Things happen in God's timing. And I still say that God is going to show us, his people, what we could have if we did three things. He's going to fulfill Deuteronomy 28. The first 14 verses are all the blessings that God said he would bestow upon his people if we do three things. Keep his laws, commandments, and statutes. And 15 through 68 are all the curses, and we were deep, deep, deep into the curse phase. But he's also showing us that how quickly the enemy I mean, this is, if you can't see now that this is a battle of good versus evil, this is God's people versus the followers of Satan. The fact that Kamala Harris, you know, that the vice president was sworn in before the president. When has that ever happened? Never. The president was supposedly sworn in 10 minutes before the hour. That's never happened. One of the things that is a telltale sign is typically the 21-gun salute will go off right after the president takes the oath. I don't know if you noticed it, but those 21-gun salute didn't happen until they were at Arlington Cemetery. So it was more of a celebration of death than it was a celebration of his presidency. And you can go back and look at the other inaugurations in history. You'll see that I'm not telling you a lie. But people have called me crazy in the past, and I'm okay with that. But I'm standing firm in my faith that God will deliver us from this Red Sea predicament.
Amen. It's definitely a Jeremiah 51 situation. Amen. And it's a case of God's power being shown. He's going to receive the honor and the glory no matter what. So, and just every time I read Jeremiah 51, it's exactly what's going on today. I mean, if you look at it and Babylon, that bitch is going down. When and how and the time frame and the exact details are in God's plan. You just got to faith it.
That's right. God's plan, not the Antichrist plan.
That's right. Amen.
What do you see going on, Paul?
Well, I'm just sitting here listening. I don't know. I've been thinking lately that we got to get back to basics. You know, we talk about the Constitution. The Constitution was written by a bunch of godly men to bind the government so we didn't get in this situation. We had certain inalienable rights from God. There's three things that are a death penalty in the Bible: murder, rape, and kidnapping. Now, why would kidnapping be a capital punishment? So you're not supposed to restrain anybody for any reason unless it's one of those two things. Or, you know, restitution. But kidnapping, and this is there's plenty of patriots in the prison that have been kidnapped. That these judges are guilty of kidnapping. And people, my point is, we got to get back to God's law. And James, it says there's one lawgiver, that's God. And, you know, for the most part, every Judeo-Christian out here, there's some very devout, there's one that I'm talking about, he was a devout Catholic, he walked out because he just figured out it was a thing. I mean, this guy was devout, and he walked away from it. Now, this is what's happened, the harvest is ready, and we just got to be there. You know, he told me something, I said back in 2016, you know, I remember it, but I'm sure I said it. He says the American people have the government they deserve, and that's what they do. This government, and we're looking at way too much of what's going on, because you've got a fish on the line. He's going to fight you right up to the end until he's in the net. And they're still fighting for life. Why would they want to impeach Trump when he's out of office? Because they know that he's got power yet. And this ain't over. I agree with 100%. But the thing of it is, our people don't know who they are. You take Isaiah 1, or they don't know, the donkey and the ox know everything about what they need, but we don't know who we are. And that's what Scripture for America, we got so much trouble with the system, we were telling them who the people were. Zach, I offered him $1,000. You know, I told him that Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He got mad at me, you know, when he went up north, studied the Bible for 3 years. He came out a different person. You know what he is now. But he didn't like what I told him. But that's what it says. Now, there is a place for these other people. Don't get me wrong. Isaiah talks about that. There's a place for these people. But the Anglo-Saxon was sent to take control of the world. We send out missionaries. We send out support to help everybody. And there ain't one other nation in the world that comes to help us. We are that people. We're a compassionate people. We're supposed to be in a republic, which is a country of law, which means Trump keeps the same law that the beggar keeps. A judge is supposed to be a referee, so that all happens. And my point is, we're looking at this reactionary of these people, and we have to look beyond it, which you said, John. I'm going to agree. You know, be still and know them more. Just sit back and watch, because it's working out. You know, if I was God back then, you know, when Jesus beat him on the cross, well, I'd have it done by now. But look, it's waited 2,000 years to work it out. God ain't no hurry. And, you know, because we always want it done now, and we don't get to have it done now. So we have to wait it out. But it is happening, and it's exciting times, and I'm not agreeing at it. But we have to, I think the thing, number one thing we have to teach, still back to basics in Scriptures for America, is the identity message, so they know who they are. If you read that Bible and you don't know that, it's like reading someone else's mail. You bring everybody into the family. You're having a family reunion. You invite everybody. Well, that ain't the way a family reunion is supposed to be. That don't mean we don't care about them, but we got to get back to basics, in my opinion. And myself, I have to, this is how I look at it. The guy I've been talking to, I tell him to quit watching the news, and he did, and he watched it for 2 days. I come back, he's depressed. I said, dang it, Tom. I said, you're going to keep watching that crap? You know, and the thing of it is, anytime you engage them mentally, it affects you, and you need to be still and know from the Lord. So,
the enemy knows that, too.
Oh, does he? He's smarter than we is.
Amen.
But, I mean, we got to get simple-minded again, is what I'm thinking. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we look way too much what they're doing. You know, the guy's got something going on here, and it ain't done. You know, we thought, I'm sure there's a lot of depressed people in America right now because they thought Trump would just step right in. Well, I think he is at some point, but, you know, the Bible says, curse the man, trust the man. No, I do believe that Trump is a reflection of the prayers that have been going on in this country lately. I really do. And he confessed Jesus Christ. No, he's not a perfect man. None of us are. So, David wasn't. He murdered a man, you know. I mean, none of us are worthy.
Yeah, but you know, Go ahead.
Well, you go back to Abraham and covenant when he split those and walked through them. He walked through them and Abraham didn't. So the God's righteous God's covenant, it was forever on his terms, not ours. Now, we can have the benefits of it if we obey, but God is not. His anger will subside at some time with us. We deserve everything we're getting.
Yes. You know, Paul, you mentioned
the brilliance of turning over the government to the military is right now. It takes President Trump out of the situation. It diffuses a hostile situation where half the country.
You're right on there.
And you know what? President Trump, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe he doesn't want that innocent blood on his hands. He's doing everything in his power to make sure that the battle that rages right now is in the spiritual realm and not in the physical realm. And if you think about it, if all of a sudden the government comes out and they start arresting these treasonous female dogs, for lack of a better word, then they can't blame it on Trump like they've blamed every single thing that's ever happened since the history of the founding of this country. And it diffuses the situation, and other than, you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all that, but they have that planned for with the Insurrection Act and using the military to squelch that. But it shell shocks those people who are in the spell and voted for Biden, even after God showed him everything about him. And I still marvel at the people who defend Biden, even now, you know, even after the very first day, 17 executive orders, and, you know, all that guy's doing is sitting at the desk waiting for them to bring another executive order to sign it. But the good news is, from what I've been reading, they can sign all the executive orders they want, but none of them have been entered into a law. So it's exciting times. And it, like I said, the Lord said, it's time for us to be still and to wait upon him.
Well, we need righteousness in the countryside. And I'll tell you how the big, large oak lives. the big liar's oath lives off the hair root on the thing, and that feeds the thing. And, you know, Trump is, let's just assume he's the big wacko, but we need righteousness in the land, and the people don't even know what it is. They don't know what sin is. They don't know about repentance. And the stray voltage, charismatics, you know, they're filled with the Spirit. That's nothing but stray voltage. The way you get the Holy Spirit is be baptized, and then you get it. You know, it ain't the other way around. So my point is, the American people, they're teachable, you know, better than they've ever been. So I'm just trying to give the big picture, and we can't worry too much. I agree with you 100%, John. I think that's what's going on. We need a dictator right now led by Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Yep. You know, Tim, you mentioned Jeremiah 51 a little earlier. And I would encourage everyone to, if you're going to read your Bible, read Jeremiah 51 and read Isaiah 9 and 10 along with it. And you see that this is not the first time that we have been in this position. And like you said, Paul, we are getting what we deserve. We're getting the government that, as a people that have, in the Judeo vernacular, backslidden, as a people that have turned from God, this is what we get. But Isaiah 10:12 says, "So it will be that when the Lord has completed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will say," see, it's after he's got his work completed, "then he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness." And so it is that wait on the Lord. He is working his work. He is not slow as we consider slowness, but what does the word say? He's patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And you're right, Paul. Man, that hit me right. It is. That's what the people need to hear. That they need to see that USA in the middle of that Jerusalem. They do. They need to see that. And then back to the basics. Not just get dry cleaned as far as baptism, but belief, yes, but repentance, change, immersion baptism, and then seeking his will and his word. And then that, because you get that gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism, that's when it opens up the word. That's when the blinders come off, you might say.
Well, it's definitely different. I was sprinkled as a kid. I don't remember that one. But then I went to a Baptist church, got baptized, and they baptized me outward sign for an inward grace. And then when Peter baptized me, it was definitely different. It was definitely different. I mean, you know, you think you're doing right and stuff like that. But once he told me, I mean, it was the same day. Most people don't do it that quickly. He's kind of impulsive like I was, and that's a problem some days too. So, but anyway.
And people, if you're listening in, but while we're just before we, one last thing, John, on this, if you're listening in and you want to have a good understanding of why we talk about baptism like this, we have a little booklet Pastor Peters did. It's real simple. It's called How to Become a Christian. And recently reread it and gone through it. We just reprinted some. And in it, Pastor just points that out, that gift of the Holy Spirit. That is how you become a Christian, is baptism. Okay? No, not just baptism, but proper biblical immersion baptism. So we have that booklet. We'd be glad to send it to you. It's a good review. I think that we're going to be sending more and more out, because it's like you're saying, Paul, the people, there are some anyway, as Isaiah 10 here says, a remnant will return. A remnant. And when you get 300 million people in the nation, a remnant could be a good number. And so we have to be ready. And in that little booklet, How to Become a Christian, is a great tool to share biblical baptism with your friends and family. So, John?
Well, we have three of them. Acts 2:38, and Don't Miss Out, and How to Become a Christian. So there's three booklets that explain this critical importance.
Yes.
Of the obedience of being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's he going on, Jason?
Oh, there's a lot of exciting things going on, and I'm excited about the future. I'll tell you what, I saw a news article this week that said farmland king Bill Gates involved in big agriculture revamp. And it was talking about, you know, Bill Gates buying 242,000 acres of farmland and, you know, into the agriculture business. And, you know, it's there's a lot of stuff going around, and it's, people are mocking the farmers and the ranchers. But it's exciting time to be a farmer and a rancher, because at the same time, the more that they bring the market down, at the same time, I see so many things that are opening up. And I know for a fact that it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 coming to pass, and the land's being healed. And there's people that are doing it on a small scale, and they're doing it all across this land. And, you know, you talk about a perfect survival plan. It's, you know, being able to grow your own food. And, you know, there's people that are figuring out a way to, for the family, small family farm, to make a living again. And, you know, I mean, that's something that everybody really thought for a long time. Well, I'm not going to say everybody, but for the majority, they thought for a long time that was going to be a dying breed, you know, and that was going to be something of the past. And it's happening, and it's exciting. I mean, it's, you know, there's different things that people are doing, and I'm really excited about it. And I've talked with Paul and Zach and quite a few people about it, and there's people that are just making changes, and then God's opening up the doors and revealing wisdom to people, and it's an answer to prayer. There's farms in different parts of the country that, you know, everybody said would never produce anything, and the soil's coming back to life. And the nutrients there, and it, you know, people are producing very good, healthy, nutrient dense food, and, you know, that's exciting. It's you know, our enemies have made an uproar against us, and when you see people like Bill Gates getting into farming and trying to control the food, you know, they've gotten their hands in the vaccinations, they've got their part in the 5G and you name it, internet stuff, vaccinations, controlling the food, genetically modified foods, and all that is, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's coming to light on that, and they're getting revealed for what they're doing, and you know, getting exposed, and so that's exciting. Things that have been done in the dark are being brought to light, and I find that really exciting.
Amen.
Paul, what do you see going on in the agriculture world?
They're ready for a change, I'll tell you that. No, they are, and it's a good thing. I mean, and this is what, the harvest is white. It's ready. They're for a change. You can actually talk to them different than you could. People are doing it. But I started to say, the book of Amos talks, your ground will turn to iron, your sky to bronze, you know, the acid rain and stuff like that. I was reading a book the other day where this soil consultant said, well, 10 years ago it was easier to fix than it is now. See, the earth is cursed. And unless you do it God's way, I mean, Pastor Peter probably kept me from going to prison. He said, don't think you're getting out of a system that God put you in, except God's way. And I think there's a correlation here between the regenerative farming coming on and all this. The Spirit of God is moving. You know, and I just think we need to quit looking at what they're doing, you know, because, you know, it's a fact of life. If somebody accuses you of something, they're probably guilty of it.
That's right.
If you take the Democratic Party, they're accusing Trump of everything. They're accusing them of the very thing they're guilty of.
That's sad.
And it ain't just there. It's just in life. You see somebody on the street, it's no different.
I kind of like the way... even now that Trump is removed from office, they continues to rub salt on the wounds of the demon rats. They moved all of the National Guard troops out of the Capitol and moved them into a parking garage, cold parking garage. You know, it's pretty cold in the winter there in Devil City. And especially when you're surrounded by concrete, it's actually colder in there than it is outside typically. But... Trump opened up his hotel. We walked right by that, but it It's only a couple blocks, I think, from the Capitol, and put the National Guard up in his hotel, feeding him and giving him drinks, and you know, just taking care of the soldiers. When you see how the Democrats treat the soldiers, I think that was another one of those where God sits in the heavens and he laughs.
They're like their father, the devil. He hates authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Texas was calling their governor in Texas was calling his 1,000 National Guard troops back. Said, no, if that's how they're going to treat you, you just come on home. And there was a, you might say, a stink raised in Colorado as well to do that. And so I think there again, it's that distinction, that contrast that we talked about, the sentiment for our soldiers has been running high lately in the nation for the last several years, not just the Trump administration, but the last several years, even before President Trump was in. And so then, yeah, when you see a slap in the face, a contrast like this, that and that's the attitude of the demon rats toward the American soldier. That basically the same attitude that they have for us. We're just goyim to them. We're just to do their bidding. There's no care. There's no care given. And again, some of the people have seen that and are outraged at at that. So it is good. It is part of his plan, and it's, I think it's waking people up.
What do you think, Tim?
Well, I think that I'd like to jump back to the farming thing a little bit and say God's got a real soft spot for farmers. I mean, that was the first occupation after the creation. They came out of the, Adam was a farmer, and God said, "Well, you're going to farm. You're going to farm. The ground's cursed right now, and but still, it was your job, and all these guys' stuff is going to come to naught." Because they talk about this, green order, and they talk about all their other details. But the fact of the matter is the wealth all comes from one place, and that's from the land, and that's from God. And when you look at that, and that is also where the power comes from, is from God and from working those things. And Jeremiah 51:20 says, "You are my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms." And there's been more nations and more kingdoms destroyed for lack of farmers or mismanagement of that particular item than probably history can record. And I think that farmers, they get in love with God pretty quick, because God's whims on the weather and on different things make or break them pretty quickly. So I think we're seeing a reawakening, all around us. I'm encouraged with the whole fact that we see we're seeing 60-some percent of the United States public saying, "I don't want to take this vaccine, and I don't want to do this." And then we look at the numbers through this whole thing with the vote rigging on this election, and we see millions of people trying their best to vote for godly principles and godly government, and still these things are done. And be not deceived, God's not mocked. It won't stand. I don't know all of the details or all of the timing, like I said, but God's not going to give them a pass. So those evil people, those Babylonians that are here running around, they're not going to walk around and keep on doing the things that they're doing. Because there's people out there that are crying out and trying. And the outcry's where it's at. When there's outcry, God listens from his people. And they need training, and they need details, and they need to understand who they are and who their God is. But just wanting to will get you there. God is he doesn't want anybody to perish of his people. And
if they'll seek, that's right. And if they're looking, he will provide. He will provide for them. Well, guys, let's try this caller here. Hey, good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Good morning, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh, got a few points here. You're bringing up some good arguments. Well, you know, I was listening to a guy. He's not an Israelite. A couple days ago, he's more like an Indian half caste or something like that. I don't know, but he's a straight shooter. Anyway, he was talking about classic liberalism, and there are many points in classical what you might call Jeffersonian type liberalism of the time that I agree with, such as well, first of all, the word liberal, libre is a Greco-Latin word. It means basically the right to do what you please, as long as you don't infringe on anybody's rights. But anyway, the time of the 60s and the early 70s was a time of liberalization. Unfortunately, it came from the wrong quarter. It was more Talmudic, mixed in Eastern Judaism, not Orthodox, but like a Reform Talmudism. And they mixed it with a lot of Marxism and socialism. But today you have people who are labeled as liberals. And I cringe when anybody ever uses that word, because they don't know what they're talking about. These people are blatant. They're not Bolsheviks. They're not even Marxists in the classical sense. They're basically statists and fascismo, because they, in a manner of speaking, because they want big government. They want the state to run everything, and they don't realize that the Marxism, Leninism, and Bolshevism that eventually came about. One of the first targets of Stalin and Lenin was the intellectuals and people that called themselves intellectuals. And who do we have running the ship of state today but self-proclaimed, college-educated intellectuals and pundits who think they know everything? And history shows that when real Bolshevism comes along, they're the first ones to go. They hunt them down like dogs.
Well, and I think we've been seeing that, Joe, as well, because the Bolshevism, the communism, the socialism that's been coming down, that's been coming in, it's not starting with this administration. We've seen it since, like you said, the 60s and before, and that has been happening. The intellectuals have been replaced in the colleges and the universities and the schools and the businesses, and they've been replaced with minorities, and they've been replaced with Eastern thinking, far left, uber liberal, and they've changed the meaning of that word like they have changed the meaning of fag and gay and every many other words. They have been replaced. Those leaders, those intellectuals, those that had a godly sense of patriotism and that understood that this constitution that we have, this nation we have, will only work for a righteous and moral people. Those people have been replaced over the last, at least in my lifetime. And when, you know, when you have a basically our lifetime of no prayer in the public fool system, that's part of that replacing. I think you're spot on. It's just been a generation or two, well, generational, that those have been replaced, because that's what Lenin wanted. That's what Marx wanted. Replace the intellectuals and eliminate the middle class. That's the next step. Eliminate the middle class. And I think that's the chapter that we're moving into now. That's their desire, is to have this. And they've even mentioned it. We talked about it a few weeks ago about the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution is what they're touting and pushing and promoting. And it is that. It says it will produce a higher paid upper class and a lower paid lower class, period. No middle class. That's their goal. That's the goal of communism. That's the goal of socialism. And it doesn't come in with one party or one man. And it doesn't go out with one party or one man in 4 years. Because it's been brewing for generations. And it's coming to fruition.
It goes all the way back to Samuel when they asked for a king.
Yes.
That's where it started.
Yep.
Well, you know, go right ahead.
I went up in the mountains this week to seek the Lord, and I came down after a couple days, and I know what I know, and I'm standing on faith, and I know that Wednesday morning when I met with this small group of in this prayer breakfast that I attend to and lead, there were at least 12 that humbled themselves and prayed and fell on their knees and their face and cried out to God, and I experienced such a trembling in my spirit on my knees with my arms up stretched up towards the heavens that I've never experienced in my life. And we can talk about whatever we want to, but all I know is that the things that were done in the dark will be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And he's given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And he will deliver us from this Red Sea predicament.
Amen. Hey, Joe, thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Joe. Thanks for your comments. You have a blessed weekend, brother. Amen. And, John, that's the story throughout. That's not a New Testament story. That's what we read when we read Isaiah 9, Isaiah 10, when we read Jeremiah 51 that Tim brought up earlier, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 that people are a little more familiar with now than they have been in the past. We are seeing that more and more, and it's when God, he is patient, he is slow. The Bible says his loving kindnesses are new every morning. That means they're new again today. And he's waiting for his people to do just that. And John, I firmly believe that because we have, like you were talking about, there were a dozen there Wednesday crying out to God, repenting, returning to him, pleading with him. And that's, you know, the remnant, there's a remnant of a remnant that are doing that, that are drawing near to God. And that's, I think, why the fire hasn't rained down on this new Jerusalem like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah, is because there are still some that have turned to God. He is finding some righteous in this land. And it's just
there's still 7,000 that won't bow their knee to Baal and will not kiss him.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Yes. Amen to that. And they are, I will say, prepared and getting prepared. You know, in preparation, there's many aspects to preparation. We've been talking about it for years. There's the physical side and the mental side and the spiritual side. And just as we are to worship our Lord in truth and spirit, we are, I think, to prepare in truth and in spirit, in physical and in spiritual. And I think we've all been, you know, thinking about that and talking with others that are doing that thing. I think this entire regenerative agriculture that's you know, been coming up just in the last few years and being talked about, that's a huge part of that. And many people don't even realize it, that's what they're doing, is that they're preparing to take care of not only their own family, but maybe some of those families around them as well, with that return to the land, that return to whatever you call it, whether it's farming, ranching, gardening, whatever.
I encourage everybody to go and get your Bibles out and read the story in Exodus. And what most people forget is that not only did God give Moses the authority to use his staff to part the Red Sea after they had crossed on dry land and the enemy was pursuing them, right? Then what did he do? He told them to take his staff and bring the Red Sea down upon them, and the Egyptians were seen no more. The enemies of God were seen no more. And I think we forget that part. So it's not just a deliverance from the predicament that you're in. It's a destruction of those that seek to destroy you. That's the part.
An execution.
More exciting Amen. Than anything else, in my opinion.
Amen.
What, Jason?
Yeah, it's an execution. You know,
But there's a fact of nature. There is no void. Something has to replace it. God doesn't have too much to replace it with until recently, because some of us are waking up, you know, and we're small. But there is no void. It's just the way nature is. You take out something to replace it. So that's my take on it.
But, you know, over the years, we've you know, had our victories here and there, and we've taken out little chunks of evil and like I said, we've won certain battles and stuff, but as far as I know, no one's really gone after the whole heart of Babylon, which is this corporation that was formed with us as collateral that a lot of people don't understand, but if you've been part of this ministry for any time, you understand that. And what you will see, I believe, is the fact that this time they've gone after the heart of the beast, the Babylon, the corporation, which is the United States of America. And this is God's land. It always has been. America means heavenly kingdom. We know that this is the true JERUSALEM. This is the promised land that God gave to his people. And our God does not break his covenant with his people.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. He'll decide. He'll decide when the country falls. He'll decide how the country falls, and he'll decide who he's going to use to do it. They will not. The heathen will not prosper. The heathen will not triumph. Thus says the Lord. That's what I say.
Well, look at all the small businesses that have been bought out by the big corporation. You take beef. For instance, you can't hardly get a cow killed because all the big chains, they're running them like full bore. But, you know, for a small guy, I mean, things have really changed that way. That's just one example. But you take all the small businesses that have been sold out. They just don't want to compete. They've given up and sold it to the corporation, and they took their chunk of money and ran. You take the family farms, they've been sold out to the big farms. You know, I'd big farmer here, there ain't one farm you didn't buy that wasn't for sale, but people gave up. Now, there was a guy who used to come into the meetings. He was from Iowa, and he was running 900 acres of, you know, commodities. And I told him, well, why don't you sell half and do something different, you know, raise some vegetables or something. And I didn't see him for quite a few years. He'd come back into one of the meetings somewhere, and he said, I did what you said, and I'm making a living. So, and, you know, I have two farms here that I have from my mom's side, my dad's side, that note, well, they went through the Depression, and they didn't get in debt, and we're still here. What is it? Been a struggle, but we're still here, and it's debt that destroys us. And everybody wants that free money. The government's got nothing to give it. It didn't take from somebody else.
That's right.
So
they don't even have that now. They just make it into thin air.
That's right.
Thin air.
Right.
They print it, and they put that in the newspapers. That's what they do.
Well, they're trying to survive too. It just the system is not working. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. And then you can eat a. You know, paper will work as one of the banks or substance. You know, the banks do it. They lend you money. If you got a collateral, they'll lend against that, but they're doing it. They're the one-sided street. You know, people don't realize how corrupt the bank system is.
Amen.
yeah, if this Babylonian system doesn't fall, then the enemy's going to own everything, because there's so much default right now going on in this country, like you said, small business. But then you look at the hundreds of billions of dollars in increase in Walmart and in Amazon and all these big corporations, and you know, the fact that now they think that they have all the media, they have the social media, they have the mainstream media, they have everything. And but isn't that what God said? He said they make their plans, and he sits in the heavens and he laughs and he scoffs at them.
Amen.
And you know, they think they have this thing won. They think that they're smarter. They think that their God, the God of this world, Lucifer, is smarter than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, I got news for you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob made Lucifer and gave him a certain amount of power, and he doesn't have 1 ounce of power more than God gave him, period.
Amen.
Well, if they really believe that, they're stupid, because it's crumbling right under their feet.
It is.
Absolutely. Hallelujah.
And it's like you said, Paul, that they're trying. They are pulling out all the stops. They're desperate. They're grasping at spider webs to hang on, and they have no foundation, and so they're going to fall. Well, guys, that's all the time we have this morning. We may think of going to 2 hours sometimes, but not today. Want to welcome or thank everybody for joining us, and we do want to welcome you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can go to scriptures4america.org. And starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and tune in. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. And so we do encourage you to come and join us there. God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make 'em hell send for